Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, everybody. You know who it is. Coach Mike Jones on the coach with the most. Coming at you hard from coast to coast. I don't want to boast, but now I got to roast you in my social media posts. You double dose, or diagnose. You feeling tired, life expired, now you're a ghost. I'll be your host, so won't you raise a toast to the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones.
Welcome to another edition of the Coach Mike Jones Show podcast, episode 20, with your role model, Rick Lieb. All right, before I get to the show, I want to talk about a couple show notes. Today we got Defy Wrestling in Seattle, Washington. Relentless Wrestling in Spokane, Washington today. Also, Wrestle Club in Idaho, where my co-host from Turnbuckle Turmoil today is Stein Guy. And then also, don't forget, November 12th, we got theatrical wrestling from CPW up in Arlington, Washington. But before we go too long, let's talk to our guest, Rick Lieb. How you doing, brother?
Hey, I'm doing good, Coach. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you, man. It's an honor and pleasure to have you on. We appreciate it.
The feeling is mutual. Let's just be honest. You're going to catch me with half attention, though, man. You got me right now, Penn State against Ohio State. I'm a Penn State guy, and Ohio State just took the lead back. So, you might hear me zone out for a second, and that'll be the apology right now in advance.
All right. Well, today I'm pulling for Michigan State for the upset, and I'm also going for the Huskies, of course, in Washington.
Okay. All right, yeah. See, my family's from Pennsylvania, so I grew up, even though I was born in Akron, Ohio, I grew up cheering on Penn State and all the Pittsburgh teams. And so it's just really weird. It makes for a true villain in the state of Ohio, though, because, you know, they hate Penn State and all the Pittsburgh teams. So works out good.
Definitely, yeah. I'm pulling for the Steelers tomorrow too in an upset.
That would be nice. That would be nice. It's going to be a tough one, but you know what? I heard T.J. Watt might be coming back tomorrow, and if T.J.'s back, guess what? With T.J. out there, there's always a chance.
Man, I love the Watt brothers. Man, those guys are definitely shooting stars.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, so. With our first standard question, what got you into the crazy world of professional wrestling?
Well, when I was a kid, my buddies, my best friend from like fifth grade, Fred was a huge, huge wrestling fan. And like, you know, I mean, like he was, his favorite wrestler back then was the Masked Superstar. And I was, you know, he's watching him, and I started watching, and then I would watch with him. I became a big Ric Flair fan, obviously. And while I was watching, there was a match, a feud. It was between Tommy Wildfire Rich and the Mad Dog, Buzz Sawyer. And it was so bloody that they put a big X up on the screen. And after that show went off the air, I just looked at them and I said, guys, I'm going to be a professional wrestler when I get older.
Nice. Right on. Yes, the superstar used to feud with one of my favorite wrestlers, Mystery Wrestling 2. And also,
yes,
it was nice to have to be able to see Buzz Sawyer over here in the Northwest before those Atlanta shows.
Oh, yeah. And Buzz was a true rule breaker on any account. But you know what? He had that popularity, and I believe it was all because of the fur boots. They just kind of...
Okay.
People liked him.
Yeah, yeah. And then I got a Buzz Sawyer story for you, a couple of them real quick. When he was in the Northwest here, he had a challenge that if anyone could break out of his figure four, he'd give you $500. And I was like, you know, I'm just like 17 years old, and I'm like, I can do it. So we went to the matches down here in Tacoma, and he's watching someone else wrestle. And my buddy and me came up to him, and I had no idea my buddy was going to say to him, hey, my friend said he can get out of your figure four. Buzz got pissed. He started walking around, looking around, going, okay, where is he? And when I seen that, I was like, I don't think so. I was sort of hiding over in the corner. And then another time I was watching him wrestle Mr. Ebony in Seattle. He went up to the top rope to do his diving headbutt, and the top rope broke on him. Oh, my goodness.
Oh.
He survived that, but, man, those were the days.
Yeah. I told Tommy Wildfire Rich the story. I was telling Tommy Rich the story because I had worked a show with him back in 2012. And I'm like, I was explaining to him that that was the reason why I got into wrestling. I'm like, you know, and he was like at a down point in his life. And so I think he needed to hear something like that, which made me feel good to actually be the one to tell him. So, and I told him, I said, yeah, dude, if it wasn't for that feud, I probably wouldn't be here right now. And
wow.
That was pretty cool. What a blessing.
Yeah, and it was nice. I finally got to meet Tommy Rich at Cauliflower Alley and got a picture with him.
It was sort of cool
where we crossed paths in the hallway. He was heading to the elevator, and his handler was going the other way, and I seen his handler, and I was like, hey, do you think I can get an interview from Tommy Rich? He goes, no, we don't do interviews, but he'll take a picture with you. So we rushed back to the elevator, and that's where I got the picture. I was like, man, thank you, guy.
Yeah. Well, it looks like this game's out of reach now. They just scored twice within a matter of minutes.
Oh, goodness. Well, hope the fat lady hasn't sang yet, though, so that's good.
Yeah, that's true. But 29-21 doesn't look good.
Okay, and then now, Sign Guy, my co-host from Turnbuckle Turmoil, he has confirmed that, yes, you are his role model. So, man, congratulations.
These are facts. I actually found out a long time ago I'm everybody's role model, and it works out really good for you all because you have somebody that you can actually respect and enjoy, you know, as that person to idolize. And it works out. I mean, like, I even idolize me, and that's really hard to do.
Yes, I'm forever grateful for you, brother. Nice to be able to hang out with you at Cauliflower Alley a couple times. You helped record our match that time a few years ago, and then
getting
to go down Fremont with you and Chaz and get that awesome picture. Man, what a day.
That is the coolest picture. I've had a lot of compliments on it, too. It's like they don't realize we were just looking down and taking a picture upward. The Fremont experience did the rest.
Yeah, and then what a blessing. I finally got your interview in the NGW Green Room. Thank you.
that was fun. I was just – I wanted to be kind of a ham out there, so I was like, oh, let me see. Wipe my hands off on leaves. That ought to do it.
All right. Yeah, and then we got Interview bomb by Trevor Blanchard. That was cool.
Yeah, it's always fun to bring someone else in. Then what it does is it just adds to it.
Yeah,
so,
and
Trevor, good
nice,
guy.
Nice that I see you got your album, the Photobomb album. Man, that's impressive.
Yeah, and it's only getting bigger every year. That's the beauty of it. It's like, you know, we have no desire to stop going to the CACs, and so we'll just keep going. And I think it's a good way for people to see how much fun we have at the Cauliflower Alley Club, and maybe then we'll get more people to sign up. I'm trying to get more wrestlers in there because, you know, the truth is it was supposed to be just for us wrestlers and boxers and actors, you know, and wrestling personalities, you know, like referees, even though, you know, a lot of them try and say I bend the rules, which is allegedly. And then there's managers, and, you know, to the most part, I like a lot of the managers. They, for anybody out there that needs a mouthpiece, I know I don't. And, you know, it is what it is. I'm trying to get more people to sign up, especially the lifetime subscribers. That would be great. I'm a lifetime member, so I think we need to get more life members in there.
Definitely, I'm a lifetime member, too. What an honor. I'm grateful to be one. I love the Cauliflower Alley, the experience, the whole deal. Yes.
Yeah. So we're both doing life is what you're saying.
Exactly. Yes. And then next year, my goal is to have the whole Real School Army down there. And I'm hoping to go for a week myself next year where, of course, I know it's only like three or four days that people usually hang down there, but I'm hoping to go down there and maybe drive down to the Grand Canyon while I'm there.
Okay. We've been talking about
talking
about it, but we haven't done it yet.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So maybe we can both do that.
Absolutely.
All right. Now I got some questions from my co-host from Turnbuckle Turmoil, Sign Guy. He would like to know what your favorite coffee to drink is.
My favorite coffee to drink?
Yes.
Okay. I just literally drank, by the way, my coffee cup is a 1 liter cup because, you know, it's either go big or go home. You know what I'm saying? And I actually have, I drink French vanilla coffee with French vanilla creamer sweetened by honey because, you know, I don't need any sugar. I'm sweet enough. So I'll sweeten it with some honey. And that right there is my favorite coffee to drink.
Right on. Okay. He also wants to know what your favorite wrestling-related movie of all time is.
Oh, see, now the wrestler has a lot of friends on that. So I do tend to lean on that a little bit. But, I mean, let's be honest about it. Now, wrestling-related or wrestler acting in it? Because, you know, They Live has to be up there.
Okay.
Wrestling-related. Gosh, I'm a body slam guy. I'm old school. You know what I'm saying?
Remember
the movie Body Slam with Roddy Piper? That one there has to be. That has to be right there with it too. That and the wrestler. But I'm going to change it all. I'm going to throw a curveball on you. Called Kayfabe the Movie.
Okay, cool.
Look it up. It's called Kayfabe. It's the real fake movie about a real fake sport.
Okay.
That's what it's
all
that's
right
what it
now.
I don't
Okay, now on to my standard questions. Who were some of your heroes growing up, whether it was wrestling, music, sports, or ordinary life?
Okay. Ordinary life, my grandfather. Wrestling, Ric Flair, and any of the horsemen for that matter. And Piper. I had a lot of wrestling heroes, actually. I won't go down that list. As far as sports, I mean, I'm a Steeler guy. So Joe Green, in my opinion, is the greatest player ever to play football. You know, but, of course, I loved anybody on that team. Jack Lambert was from nearby Kent State. So there's that as well. So, yeah, I mean, I had a few of them. That's just to name a few.
Okay.
Willie Stargell. Loved watching Willie Stargell when I was a kid. Pirates
yeah.
baseball.
Yeah,
back
yeah.
when Pirates actually were good. Back when they were relevant.
Yeah.
So.
All right. And then, yes, I was a big fan of the Steelers back in the day. I hated the Cowboys. Man, that was fun to watch back in the day.
Wasn't it?
Goodness.
It really was. It really was. But the weird thing is, when the Cowboys aren't winning, it feels weird to me. So in a weird way, I need the Steelers and the Cowboys to be winning because you got to have like that. The Cowboys would be the villain to, like, the Steelers being the hero. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and this week I'm going for the Chicago Bears to beat the Cowboys in an upset. I'm sure hoping that happens.
Yes, that would be nice.
Okay, and then so what were some of the most memorable matches that you've seen or been involved with, or both?
Okay, most memorable matches that I've seen, obviously that Tommy Wildfire Rich versus Mad Dog Buzz Sawyer's match was. They put a big X on the stage, of course, or I mean on the screen, because it was so bloody and so gruesome. Of course, now many years later, I find out there's probably a blown spot there somewhere in there, and they had a, you know, blocked out. But hey, look, I won't say it if you don't say it. You know? Oh, wait a minute, I just did. Any of those 60-minute matches with Ric Flair, I got to say that those were just the greatest ones to grow up watching. As far as matches that I've partaken in, I mean, I had the dog collar chain match with a guy named Carnage. Of course, me and Chaz Taylor had a match that I swear to you, the referee was I didn't know that referees could be yard dogs. But this one was, and he told us to take it home, like, way early. Like, man, this is kind of quick, and it was crazy. So we took it home, and it almost ruined the match. It was so comical that it didn't ruin it, though, because it was just funny how bad it was. How bad, not our match, but how bad his officiating was. And then, and I won't say names because, you know, I don't want to throw any officials under there. Marty Jannetty. My wife's telling me Marty Jannetty. That would have been a frantic four-way with a local guy. And then you had Marty Jannetty and Danny Doring from ECW. And it was all four of us in the match. That was actually a really fun match. Talk about selling props and selling out on props. Like, we had – I used to bring these things to the ring. It was a silver platter, right, because I was going to dish up my opponent on a silver platter. And so I would sell these gimmicks. For $5 each, and they were autographed. And then, of course, the second autograph is, if you hand it to me when I throw my opponent outside the ring, I autograph it with their head. Well, apparently we were all on the same page with that. Jannetty, I remember him come up to me, and he goes, hey, am I allowed to hit you with a couple of those? I'm like, absolutely. You know, like, what you, you don't have to ask, you know. So now you have me, Jannetty, the local guy, and, of course, Danny Doring, and we're all just whacking each other with these freaking platters. But the beauty is I got $5 for every one of them that's sold. So, and we sold out. I made a killing that day. That was 55 platters. They were all gone.
Nice, man. And, yes, you've
right.
got some great notable wins against some top opponents there, Marty Jannetty, Chaz Taylor, Danny Doring, Michael Tarver, and Shane Taylor, to say just to name a few. My goodness.
Well, Michael Tarver, we split the wins. You know, the last one, he hit me with a spear. It was so hard that I bounced from the middle of the ring into the ropes. And, you know, because I have a rule. If you're going to hit me, you better hit me or I'm not going to sell it all the way. I mean, if it's a finisher, because I don't care if it hurts. If it's a finisher, I'm going to be out anyway, so finish me. Shane Taylor, he was one of my students, and I was training him at the time. And so, you know, I like to say that I hold this victory over the big, bad Shane Taylor, but let's be honest, I hold this victory over the rookie Shane Taylor. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
It's like, there's a huge difference, you know, but, let's, you know, Good, dude. That's actually the match I broke my spine in. I broke my L5 in that match. So it's a memorable match, but it's a memorable for a different reason. It was not his fault. He is this dude. I mean, he felt so guilty for it. I kept telling him, "It is not your fault. It was the gym. The air conditioner broke in, and it was like literally one of those weird days when Ohio got 103 degrees, and this was in Canton, Ohio, and inside that place had to be about 119 degrees. Well, he weighs 350 pounds, and I at the time was only about 187, I think." And I go to post off his shoulder for, of all moves, the backbreaker. And I just slid right off of him. I couldn't, there was nowhere I could grab because it was everything, we were so soaking wet. And he hit that thing completely solid on his kneecap. And you can see it on the video. I believe it's on RCW Spotlight on YouTube episode. Oh, gosh, if I want to, I think it's 37, if I'm going to guess off the top of my head. I know it was an interview. We did an interview with a guy, a local radio guy who's a wrestler named Jeffrey LaRoque. And so he's out. He's on a show called Rover's Morning Glory. And Jeffrey, we were interviewing him on the show that has it. And so, yeah, it was – It's on there if you want to see it. They actually put it in slow motion so you can see it. It's just crazy.
Yeah. Man, what an honor and privilege. I got to work with Shane Taylor in the past with my Real School Army. I got to team with him, Brutal Bob Evans, and Tim Hughes. It was called Team Ring of Honor here in the Northwest, and we also did seminars.
Nice.
Yeah, what a blessing to work with those guys. Shane's a great guy, man, and great to work with, and
he
what
really
a talent.
Is.
He's come a long ways. Yeah.
You know what, and I can't, like every time I see him do something, I just write him, I'm like, dude, I words can't express how proud I am to see you getting this far, you know, and, you know, I want to give a shout out to Ray Rowe, who also helped train him. We do not train in the same school or anything of the sort. We just so happen to have the same student. You know, he was one of the smart guys that wanted to go to more than one person. And I am all for that because it's like, you know, you're never ever going to run out of learning in this sport because there's always something new you can pick up on. But yeah, Shane, he was in my wedding. He was one of my groomsmen, crying out loud, you know. And
nice.
He's my son Emery's godfather. So, good guy.
Right on.
Anybody hasn't had a chance to check him out, man, he's on I know he was on Ring of Honor, and also I believe he's doing stuff with Impact right now. So, check him out. Keep an eye on him. This guy's the real deal.
Definitely. Hey, let's go back a little. You were talking about injuries and – man, let's come back down to earth, man. I would say right now we are both lucky to be talking right now because a while back you had a scare with your heart thing. Let people know about that.
I had a triple bypass. It was supposed to be a quadruple bypass, but they instead of doing the they ran out of time or something, or said that it was too risky to do the last one. But I had my widowmaker was 100% clogged. I had another artery that was 100% clogged, another one that was over 90% clogged, and then the last one that they didn't bother to do surgery on, which was over 70% clogged. And they literally I was having heart attacks every day from July 7th until December 3rd when I went to the hospital. And
what
they
what
told
year
me
was that?
I should be dead. 2017.
Okay, yeah. And then, my goodness, it was horrible seeing you in that condition. And, you know, most people were thinking, like, man, we hope you pull through, let alone ever get to wrestle again. My goodness.
I appreciate that. We're a different kind of animal. Oh, damn, he just caught it inside the five. Anyway, yeah.
Damn it.
I told you. It's like I'm my ADD. I'm doing two things at once right now. But yeah, I appreciate everybody that sent in their prayers and everything, because that was a scare for
you know, like my wife and my kids and my friends and everything. Me, I believe that I'm immortal, so I don't even know how to die. I've never done it before, so I don't know why I'd start now. So I figured that I was going to pull through, but no, it was really scary. Not gonna lie, you know, all trash talkery aside, I definitely was nervous, but you know, I held a great poker face for them.
Yes, definitely. And you know, I'm not a superstitious guy. I'm a total believer in God. I'm so grateful to be alive myself. And where, my goodness, you know, when I say about being superstitious, the nine lives thing, what I'm trying to get at is I sort of think I probably already had like six or seven of them right now so far. So I got a couple left. So I'm grateful for that. And,
now,
same with you.
You're a zipper clubber, aren't you?
What was that?
Are you a member of the Zipper Club as well?
No, I'm not. No, thank goodness I'm not.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Okay.
And I haven't actually died yet, but I just figured there was at least six or seven chances that I could have, and I'm very grateful that I didn't die.
Yeah, I heard that. The COVID alone should have killed me last year when I got home from the Cauliflower Alley Club. Unfortunately, like we all know, that it did take a couple of our CAC brothers that were also got it while there. But I was 2 weeks in the 2 weeks in the hospital, sent home on oxygen, had to miss a wrestling event. I was there. I just worked there. I told them, I said, if I can't make it, I'll work the tickets or the concession or something. I'm not working. So I worked it with the tubes hooked up in them. I worked concession with oxygen tubes in my nose.
Damn, what a team player you are, brother. Jeez.
Hey, Rick Leave ain't no punk. We're all there. Every single person every person on that event is part of the event. You know what I'm saying? They're part of the show. Whether it's the person selling tickets, the person passing out food, or us in the ring, everybody has a role. And so I'm no bigger than them. And I said, you know what? I'll go over there and I'll. Now, of course, they told me afterwards that I just got in the way because people kept coming over and wanting to ask me how I was doing and talk to me and stuff. And so it probably wasn't for the betterment of the rotation, but I mean, I tried.
Okay, yeah. Now, you know, I want to let everyone know, I definitely think the world is a better place with you in it, and I'm very grateful for you. Thank you, brother.
I appreciate that. The world's a better place with you in it too, Coach. Absolutely.
Yeah, and you know, I'm only getting started, so that's why when I say I think I got at least two lives left, I got a long way to go because I got a lot of people to help and a lot of good things to do in this world.
Yes. You and me both, brother. You and me both.
Exactly. Okay, now back to the interview. What are some of the different characters that you've worked?
Okay. Under like that I personally was, because I've only been three people technically.
Okay.
I started off, you know, we all have to pay our dues. I started off as a masked gimmick called the USSR Kid. So if you ever heard of a USSR Kid, that was me. Then I moved on to, they wanted the promoter that I was working for, Billy Boa, wanted a Nature Boy. So guess what? I became Nature Boy Rick Leeb. Was never a fan of trying to steal the gimmick from my favorite wrestler, but I get it. You know, they what would Jim Cornette call it? An outlaw mud show? I mean, it was licensed, so I guess it wasn't an outlaw, but it was definitely one of them hacks that they wanted to have, you know, like, if you saw the roster, you'd be like, oh, right, okay. You know, there was a Fred DiBiase. There was a
there was, you know, me as a nature boy. There was it was a lot of different kind of close to being what you'd see on TV at that time. Oh my gosh, interception for a touchdown, horrible. Anyway, all right, we are done watching this game. So when I finally, you know, got done paying my dues, you know, 10 years of paying your dues, I was always thrown into the second half of the event, though, because of my mic skills. Because even as a rookie, I knew how to cut promo better than anybody on the roster. And, you know, so they would always make me go cut a promo. They put me in I was in a main event in my first year. Of course, I jobbed out, but, you know, I was in a main event in my first year on my mouth alone. And it was horrible.
Wow.
Because my wrestling ability was T-rash at that time. But, you know, my mouth alone got me in there.
Yeah,
so,
you had one of the qualities that's needed. Exactly. Nice.
Right. Well,
okay.
Good looks, too. I mean, come on. Let's not forget about that.
Oh, exactly. Yes. Yes. Okay, and then did you play any sports in high school or growing up?
I played football, volleyball, wrestling, and I was also an amateur kickboxer.
Okay, and then that's part of my next question. What's your self-defense background?
Wrestling and amateur kickboxing.
Okay.
And according to Pat Tanaka,
everybody
that knows chain wrestling knows how to do he told me on the phone, he goes, you know how to, he said he had to get to his judo class. I'm like, oh, wow, you know judo too? And he goes, you a chain wrestler? And I'm like, I'd like to say that's the strong point of my game. And he's like, well, you know judo too. And I'm like, and then I went and looked it up, and
right,
apparently
on.
It's right. It's like a lot of it's chain wrestling. But yeah, kickboxing and wrestling.
Okay. And then let's see, who are some of your favorite people to work?
Oh, favorite people to be in the ring with? Die Hard the Hunter, for sure. The Rogue was always, he's always a fun one. He's like battling that retirement time now, but I always enjoyed being in the ring with him. If I want a good stiff match, I got a guy out here named the Lord of Discipline Animal that I've been teaming with most of the time. And he's a tough one. He's solid as a rock. So he's always been a fun one to work with. John Potok was always fun to wrestle back in the 90s and early 2000s, and even the 80s. I wrestled him in 89 because we both came in the same time. So, yeah.
Okay.
To name a few.
Okay, and then that's part of my next question. Who are some of the toughest opponents you faced?
Toughest opponents I faced? Well, you got to give that to Animal. Not Road Warrior Animal, but the Lord of Discipline Animal. And definitely one of the toughest opponents. Oh, by the way, Marty Jannetty was a fun one to wrestle to, when, as far as people I really enjoy. He was. We didn't have to say a word in the ring. We just went in there and wrestled. And I always liked that, and apparently he appreciated it too. Toughest opponents as... It's like real life bad boy, like tough guys. Yeah, it's definitely got to be the Rogue. It's got to be Animal. Vinny DiMarzo. You know, just now finally getting to wrestle Marcus Knight, and so I'm gonna be. I look forward to this. All these years of everybody trying to compare us, and we've never faced each other one on one. So that one ought to be a good one. But yeah, the. I think that's about it for tough ones. Oh, Shane Taylor and freaking Tyrone Evans, a.k.a. Michael Tarver.
Okay, yes. We hope the fans look up all these guys that you've mentioned, and want to give shout out to people you've mentioned before, Pat Tanaka, of course, and then Marty Jannetty. I got to meet him at Heroes and Legends, and I did get to interview him in my green room, but as of currently, that is a loss. interview that I'm still looking for. I got it somewhere. I will find it one day, I promise.
Funny story, me and Marty were out at the bar after one of our events, and we're sitting down, and it's at Brubaker's Pub here in, I think it's either at Akron, Ohio, or Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. I know it's right where they combine. And we're in there, and these drunk dudes just kept coming up, and, like, they were kind of saying stuff. And finally, it was to the point where it's like, all right, we're going to end up having to kick these dudes, you know, kick their butts, because they're obviously not getting the message. Like, they all they wanted to do is talk about how fake wrestling was and all this other stuff. And we're like, well, we're not fake, you know. You know, Marty was a he was a college wrestler. You know what I mean? Like, he was a high school a standout high school wrestler. I believe he won state and a college wrestler. I was on the wrestling team until my bad grades got me kicked off. Now, ironically, the guy whose position I actually had, the one who I beat in my weight class every time, by the way, ended up. I believe he either went to state or he won city series or something like that. So he ended up doing really good, but unfortunately, you know, it was supposed to be my spot, but I had just a few F's on my report card and was kicked off the wrestling team. Apparently they frown on those kind of things. Grades.
Okay.
So, but I still knew.
All
my
right.
Stuff.
So, hey, what were you saying?
I said, but I still knew what I was doing. You know what I mean? I still liked the sport. So, yeah,
definitely.
We were about to – so finally, someone else came up to him and is like, dude, real talk, these guys are going to kill you if you don't stop talking bad to them. And so the guy apologized and finally left. But we really – it was really starting to get to the point where it seemed like we were about to have to do something. And we would have. So.
Well, that was a good ending to the story rather than you guys clearing out the bar, you know, my goodness.
Yeah. It was resolved without any fights, which is always a good thing because the truth is we're not there to try and hurt anybody, especially not a fan, you know, or a non-fan. We just wanted to go in there and have peace with our drinking.
Exactly. Okay. And then, hey, what do you got coming up, brother?
Okay. December 17th is our big. First of all, every Thursday night you can catch RCW Global, and every Sunday you can catch me and my co-host, the Sicilian Beast, Ken Sermonera, who wrestled for WWWF when they would come into the Midwest, and you can catch us on RCW Spotlight Sundays at noon, RCW Global Thursdays at 8 p.m., these are all Eastern Standard Time, so just subtract 3 hours if you're on the Pacific, if you're on the West Coast. And these are on the RCW Network on YouTube. That simple. Not the CW Network, which I found out is a thing on YouTube also, but the RCW Network. And then when you see it, you'll see a black and white picture of the Akron, Ohio skyline. So
okay.
Get that. You can see that. And then on December 17th, we have a big event called Twas the Fight Before Christmas 3, and it'll feature the first time ever myself and the Spotlight, Marcus Knight, one-on-one. I am actually looking forward to this because, you know, I'm kind of a fan. He's kind of a fan. So this is a match that we have been wanting. Our fans apparently have been requesting this one for a long time. And so with that being said, they're finally pulling the trigger and letting us in. They're going to have it. Myself, Marcus Knight, first time ever, one-on-one. The Boat, Best of All Time versus the GOAT, Greatest of All Time. It's time to see who the true, as they like to call us, independent professional wrestling legend is. I don't look at myself as a legend. I just look at myself as a wrestler. You know, I mean, does my gimmick soak in its greatness? Absolutely. But, you know, let's be real. It's just, I'm just out there living a dream. That's all.
Awesome, brother. And, you know, Normally I'd be pulling for you, but I got to say that match is a toss-up to me, brother, so good luck.
It really is, and that's the crazy part. Like, I mean, like everybody keeps saying, it's like, dude, this is the first time I just don't, like, we don't even know who to cheer on or who to, you know, it's like you got, I mean, honestly, I'm excited about it. I told him, I was like, you know, I'm hitting the gym hard. I'm training for this one like it's a, like there's a championship on the line. Like there's a belt on the line. You know, there should be a belt on the line. But, you know, I mean, who am I to title whore myself? I don't want one. I don't need a belt to be over. I'll be real.
Exactly. Yeah. And my God, I'm looking at some of your title reigns. You've over dozens of championships you've had. What's your most proud title that you've held?
Okay, well, I'd have to say the UWC World Championship when I won that, because that was big. It was on TV at the time, so it was kind of a popular show. It was aired in a couple states, so it felt good to win that one. I didn't win it at an arena event. I actually won it on a TV taping, and they did the Dusty Rhodes ending where it, the match was not over, but they had to go off the air. And so, and we were sworn to silence for the whole week. Wasn't allowed to say anything for a whole week about what happened. If they didn't buy a ticket to be at the studio, then they didn't get to see the, they don't get to know the outcome. And so everybody kept asking me, and I'm like, just tune in. That's all I can say. Tune in. I'm not allowed to say anything, you know? And then finally when it started the next week, I end up winning the championship. And that was a good one because it was my first ever world championship. And you got to understand, as a guy that at that time was only 187 pounds, I wasn't a heavyweight. But yet they put me into the heavyweight division because of the fact that, as the promoters explained it, the larger-than-life persona that I built for myself. I'm like, I like that. I like that a lot. So that one would be probably the best. Of course, being the RCW champion twice when RCW is, you know, we are selling out the crowds, which is a good thing because indie wrestling anymore doesn't seem to draw flies, and yet we're selling out a gym. You know, it's a small gym, but it's still a gym, and we're selling it out. We're packing it, and it's like when we're able to do that, then it's telling me that we're doing something right. So
definitely,
everybody, yeah, and you know, and all I could ask is subscribe to the RCW Network because every match will get aired eventually.
Okay, right on. And then what are some of your suggestions for people wanting to get into the sport of wrestling?
Number one, look at it as a sport. Stop looking at it as, oh, I want to do this spot and that spot and this spot. It is a sport. So stop going in there thinking that you have to get all these moves in and you have to do all this. If you're good, you'll shine no matter what. Number two is listen to your trainers and listen to the veterans. Oh my goodness, I can't say it enough. It's not about you. It's about the fans and your trainers and your promoters and everybody, the veterans. They will explain this to you. Listen to them. And finally, when it's all said and done, I said it a minute ago, it's all about the fans. Don't go out there and do a bunch of cool moves because the guys in the back like it. You're not popping the boys. You're popping the fans. Make sure that the fans are enjoying it. I don't script matches, sir. I do not, and I will not. I will never script a match. I go out there and I wrestle. And if I know the outcome, then guess what? I'm going to feed off of what the crowd's doing, and we'll do that. We'll go with that.
Awesome. Man, that's great advice. And then what schools do you suggest people?
Well, we have our own school here. It's Fortitude School of Wrestling. And if you're interested, just honestly just get a hold of me on Facebook, facebook.com/eRoleModel. You have to be in the Northeast Ohio area in order to do it. I would say to go to Chaz and Tug, but Chaz isn't running the school right now, which really sucks because we need somebody like him. If you're in Dallas, Texas, though, man, I'll tell you right now, you got to go to, oh, gosh, I don't want to forget his name right now that we're on the what's his name? Oh, geez, I just forgot his name. Come on, Coach, help me out here. You know anybody in Dallas?
I know Booker T's got a school down there, right?
Yeah, Booker has a school, but I got to go on Facebook. I'm going to get in trouble for forgetting his name, but I'm just brain farting over here. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, and I'm just talking to him. So I'm going to jump on here real quick if I can see it while I'm talking to you.
We got some more time. Nice. Okay, we got more time. And then how else do people get a hold of you on your social medias?
Get a hold of me. I'm on Twitter at eRoleModel, Instagram at eRoleModel, Facebook /eRoleModel, or just look up Rick Lieb, RICLIEB. Also, if you want to go to my, if you want to join my fan club on Facebook, it's facebook.com/RealRoleModel. You know, because there's been a lot of fakes lately. But I'm the only one that's been calling himself that since 1998. So I don't want to hear it.
Okay.
Yeah, oh, my gosh. This is driving me nuts. Something.
Okay, well.
Oh,
just,
dude.
Relax.
This is don't ever get old, people. Rudy Boy Gonzalez. Oh, thank God. I didn't have to find it. Go to Rudy Boy, man. He's one of my favorites. Everybody I've seen come out of his school has been great.
Okay, there you go. Yes. Yes, yes. I love his
South,
post and his
insight. George South, you want to go through him? A good one, too.
Okay.
But, yeah, up here in Ohio, get a hold of me. I'll get you in there. We don't charge. We don't charge our students. I think it's just it's nonsense. Most wrestling fans, especially here in Ohio, are broke. So just charge them with their heart. Tear down the ring. Make them do ring crew. That's good enough payment.
Goodness, you definitely need as many of those people as you can get that'll stick with it and help out and be dependable, definitely.
Absolutely.
Okay, is there anything else you'd like to plug or promote?
Off the top of my head, boss, I can't think of anything. I would like to say that, you know, Crick Pro Quo, this is your role model, Rick Lieb, and I am telling everybody out there, if you're not listening to Coach Mike's show every week, you should be. Sound like
Thank
that.
Thank you so much, brother. We appreciate it. Okay, man, we're so honored and grateful to have you on. We wish you all the luck in the world, brother, and thank you so much.
Hey, Coach Mike, it was a pleasure to be on your show. Big fan of what you're doing. Big fan of you. You're a good guy, you know. And for people that don't know, I'm a fan of this man, person too, because he's just a really good guy. And so, and we need more of those good guys in this business because, trust me, there's a lot of them that aren't. Anyway, so I appreciate you having me on, and anytime you ever need me for anything, brother, I'm just a phone call away.
Thank you so much, Rick. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
All right. There you go, everybody. Rick Lieb, your role model. Definitely mine and sign guys. And, man... What a day, what a weekend. It's a nice day here in the Northwest, sun shining. Going to have to get out there with my girl and my dog, get some vitamin D out there, and just continue to kick butt and take names. Next week we'll be announcing our guest pretty soon for next week at noon Pacific time. Make sure you guys all check it out. We appreciate it. You guys can check me out at Coach Mike Jones, the coach with the most. Also, Coach Mike Jones at Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. School Army and the NGW Green Room for hundreds of interviews from all over the world. Also, the Seattle Mariners Organizational Report. And then our number one sponsor, A-Plus Payless Handyman Services, 10% cheaper than any written estimate, 15% cheaper for seniors and military, and also no job too big or small. Thank you guys so much for all your love and support and input. We're so grateful. Thanks so much and love you and have a great weekend.
That's right, everybody. You know who it is. Coach Mike Jones on the coach with the most. Coming at you hard from coast to coast. I don't want to boast, but now I got to roast you in my social media posts. You double dose, a diagnose. You feeling tired, life inspired, now you're a ghost. I'll be your host, so won't you raise a toast to the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones. Everybody say Coach Mike Jones.